Blog Talk Radio.
What do you think about Jesus? Jesus in the morning, you give me Jesus in the evening, every minute of the day, give me Jesus, he's my reason for living, he's my source of survival, every minute of the day, give me Jesus, now give me Jesus in the morning, Jesus in the evening, every minute of the day.
Friend. Satan, you're a loser. It's me.
So welcome one and all. This is Dan Rich, the Anchor Man in the studio. And we are rocking away. Let's rock away with Dr. Shaw. Yes, anime. Yes, Dr. Shaw rocking away there. And we have Judith Gale earlier. Yes, so those two songs, we rock away, kick off the show tonight. Still anticipate Pastor Rowan Cameron for the Redemption Show. Pastor Rowan Cameron come live from the foot of the Bullet Mountain in Clarendon. Clarendon, it's all about the Clarendon connection. So tune in one and all over the globe. Welcome Jamaicans from around the globe. Welcome if you're a Christian from around the globe. Welcome. And if you're a treasure from around the globe. Yes, Treasure Heights. Welcome. Welcome one and all. Wherever you are, from far or near, welcome to GRSFM Radio. This is Dan Rich in the studio. We're going to take a word from our sponsor. When we come back, we're going to have, we're going to have a little discussion, and we hope Pastor Rowan Cameron will be tuning in the hot seat by then. So let's take a word from our sponsor tonight. This show was brought to us by Nurse Mentor Healthcare Service.
Nurse Mentors Healthcare Services is now recruiting healthcare professionals, RNs, LPNs, CNAs, and home health aides. We provide 24/7 staffing and in-home care throughout the state of Florida. Call us now at 954-496-2112 or 954-328-3191. We work hand-in-hand with our patients, doctors, and family members to meet our patients' needs. All our staff members are licensed, bonded, and insured. Please visit us at 6151 Miramar Parkway, Miramar, Florida. Call us today, 954-496-2112 or 954-328-3191. Again, 954-496-2112 or 954-328-3191.
Yes, welcome one and all. This is Dan Rich, your anchor man in the studio. Tonight is the Redemption Show. Of course, the host, Pastor Rowan Cameron, not yet tuning into the studio, but we anticipate for him to tune in shortly. So welcome one and all. Welcome. The number to tune in and to call in for those who are listening online is 515-605-9329. You can call in the show and participate tonight. It's all about Jamaica Connection. Yes, the Redemption Show. Specifically coming out of Clarendon. Clarendon, the farmer, breadbasket of Jamaica, because they're St. Best. If you are in St. Best tonight, feel proud. Yes, you have taken over the title as the breadbasket of Jamaica. Yes, you're in Hanover. Where are you? I just recently learned a few things about St. Best. And no one that named St. Best, because a few years ago, dozens of years ago, St. Elizabeth has been cut up and, you know, some take over, part of it gone to Westmoreland, Hanover, and Manchester. So St. Elizabeth is what it is today because it is, it believes in sharing. Yes, it shares some of its location, places with different parishes. So, St. Best, you're the best. I'm sure Pastor Ron Cameron, a man who's very eloquent, would give us an update on that. Not just about Clarendon. He's well versed in the Jamaican culture, Jamaican, what is happening, you know, current affairs. He's also good in history. So, yes, he will update us. So, welcome one and all, and you're listening, and you're listening in all the parishes, or you listening around the globe, and you represent a particular parish. Well, we'd love to hear from you tonight. We'd love to hear about your parish, whether it be Annova, Trelawney. Let's start, yes, Annova, Westmoreland, Trelawney, St. Elizabeth, yes, St. James, yes. Yes, where we have Montego Bay and St. James, yes. Coming down, we have St. Elizabeth, yes. Coming, St. Anne, yes. So I'm not looking on the map, so I'm just going by, you know, my knowledge of, you know, driving around. Coming down to Manchester, yes, then Clarendon. Coming, we're heading down to Kingstown. We have the big St. Catherine, but understand that St. Anne is a bigger parish than by about, you know, a couple of acres. Yeah, bigger than St. Catherine. Didn't know that before until recently in the group. Yeah, coming down to Kingstown, we have Kingstown. And Kingstown intertwined with St. Andrew, my birth parish, St. Andrew. So we stretch toward the east, and if you're tuning in from the east, or you're presenting the east, eastern parish, from St. Andrew, we have St. Thomas. And St. Thomas, we travel back to Port Antonio. Yes, Portland, rather. Portland, Port Antonio is the city or the capital of Portland. So, yes, Portland. And we travel back down to St. Mary. Travel to St. Mary, and you can travel, either go to St. Catherine, or you go back to St. Anne. Yes. Did I miss out any parish there? Now somebody's going to call and say, what happened to my parish? You missed my parish. I think I have all 14 parishes covered. Did I miss any out? No, I don't think so. Yes, I think I cover everybody. So welcome one and all. Welcome, welcome. This is Dan Rich. Let me play a working song, working class. No loitering, no idling. Yes. Eric Donaldson. Yes.
Call it really.
Welcome one and all to GRS FM Radio with Dan Rich, your host, the most in the studio. And welcome. Tonight is Pastor Ron Cameron and the Redemption Show. And unfortunately, he's not yet tuning into the studio. So we're just going to play a couple more songs, and I'm going to take a keynote address by the late Prime Minister Michael Manley. And we will fill in a few little songs in between. So we have heard from, we hear from Pastor Ron Cameron. So this is Mr. Manley, late Mr. Michael Manley.
The chairperson is to try and stop somebody in the middle of their discourse. But I want you to know, Mr. Saul, that in the anxiety of speed and precision, we have not forgotten the heroic struggle of your people as they resist, and most importantly, as they inspire the rest of us. And the lessons of the people of El Salvador will go down in history . So please convey to your people that we here at least are asking you to continue the struggle. The next speaker is somebody that I will not attempt to introduce, only to give you an anecdote. In Algeria, some time ago, I met with and discussed some problems with SWAPO people who had come up from Namibia, and in the contingent were about six women. One of the women was shot during the struggle, and she had come and recovered there, and we had finished our seminar, and I was going back the next morning, coming back here, and about 12 o'clock at least, she said, by the way, I want you to do me a favor. For some reason, she was quite convinced that I was a Jamaican, and then said, you know, I would like you to take a message. And the message is to a very dear friend of mine from the six of us women here. I want you to send a message to Michael Manley. I said, sure, I'll be glad to. And you know, one of the things he did for us is that he invited us to his country and taught us how to type, file, and do all kinds of important things that we'll have to go back to do. And I just wanted him to know that, you see, even in his office, in the Prime Minister's office, he has to try and restructure and reorganize his office internally. And if ever Namibia becomes independent, we'll be glad to come and help him. This was 12 o'clock. I couldn't have the heart to tell her that Michael Manley was no longer the Prime Minister. And so I said, yes, my dear, I will deliver it to the Prime Minister. But that indicates to me what he represents. Michael Manley dared to look horizontally instead of being dependent vertically. So that we are grateful to him, if nothing else, to force the Caribbean to look horizontally and free itself from vertical dependence. Mr. Michael Mann.
Brother Chairman, Mrs. Vera Rubin, other distinguished participants, and my brothers and sisters. I began my participation in this conference with something of a shock. I entered the room as my friend Archie Singham was speaking. In fact, he was in full flight. But that, of course, was not the occasion of my shock. He was in the middle of his dissertation on the nature of war and the relationship between war and the Caribbean. And I actually heard him saying, "My advice to all Caribbean political figures, return home and study war." I had just entered the room at that moment. Apart from the fact that I realized immediately that I was misplaced, let me hasten to assure you, Archie, that I actually took the plane this morning, and I am returning on the first flight tomorrow morning. And I will take the rest of your comments to heart. The second comment that I would like to be permitted, if I may, is to endorse Ricky Singh's suggestion of George Lamming as a chairman of Caribbean People. I'm happy to see George here. I see George shaking his head. But I do say in all sincerity that I think it's an interesting idea, and I can think of no better choice, though I'm sure George will not thank me for that endorsement. My last comment is perhaps the serious one, or the most serious one. I was very struck with the clarity of J. Mandel's comment, analysis, criticism. I would not presume to either speak for or confess on behalf of anybody in Grenada or in Guyana. But I do not hesitate to say that we, in our part of the Jamaican political process, even if we have not expressed the criticism as harshly, are very conscious of a substantial merit in the criticism that he advances. And in fact, listening to him, I wondered if I should perhaps tear up the notes that I have and speak only to the question, what do we think we have learned from the experience of what we attempted? And perhaps I can find a way, with your permission, Mr. Chairman, to weave a type of rejoinder into my comments. Mark, I'm not sure how exhausted you all are. I would imagine that you're in a state of advanced exhaustion. And your mere presence here is not only a great courtesy, but an extraordinary act of stamina. And I will try to respect your condition. In thinking of the theme of this conference, I'm very glad that there have been such a number of distinguished scholars, because it is really in the province of scholarship to rest prophecy on analysis. And I, who am merely a working political activist, really could not trespass into the 21st century. I think I have enough problem wondering to do what to do with 1984. But on the assumption that you have been thoroughly briefed on the perspectives that are relevant for and the prospects which you can accept for the 21st century, I would like, if I may, more to speak at a very practical level, out of our own political experience, of the question, granted that we do get to something called the 21st century, with what should we occupy ourselves between now and then? I begin naturally with all of the obvious comments One is very conscious that speaking of the Caribbean region, that you are speaking of some 50 million people, which is a potentially viable aggregation of souls, but divided into no less than 30 countries and nation states, therein lying one of our problems. I therefore have no difficulty whatsoever, have always felt profoundly, that it is impossible to conceive of ultimate viability in the Caribbean outside of the context of regional integration. Mm-hmm. That I take for granted. One is interested in the fact that our region played such a profound part in the past, in the whole of that process that led to the capital accumulation that was a foundation of the Industrial Revolution. And it's very interesting, in a sense, perhaps ironic, that the Caribbean region, which contributed so much to European economic development 2-3 centuries ago, should now once again be on the world stage, but in a different context, a strikingly different context. Because when we look at the region, I think that we can isolate perhaps 3 things that are immediately significant and each profoundly problematic. The first is that perhaps more than any other part of the world, the Caribbean is now the heart of that foreign exchange crisis that besets and bedevils the third world. Secondly, we are interesting in that we show a certain political creativity in the search for new political and economic forms, strategies, answers, if you will, each of which itself becomes an immediate flashpoint of international pressure, controversy, and action. And thirdly, of course, we are, I suppose, as much as any part of the world, illustrative of the problem of small countries trying to exercise sovereignty in the presence of an aggressive and pervasive hegemony. So if we look at those things as, in a sense, providing the indicators of our situation, let us see if we can proceed very quickly from the dominant realities, which are obvious, to responses that are taking place, and then to what I really would like to talk about, which is the political problem, the political response that is possible. I do so reminding you that we cannot all operate on the assumption that we work in our political, in our particular country, in what I might call a framework of revolutionary simplicity. Most of us operate as political activists in extremely complex political environments that have flowed from complex political and social history. Nor can we base our tactics on assumptions, however justified, however idealistically desirable, of significant change in the international environment. Therefore, we face this reality that in looking at the problem of development in the region, we have to take account of enormous political complexity. It is a reality with which we must deal, and we have to take into account a given international environment which is predominantly hostile to our interests and our possibilities. In fact, it was Lucille Mayer who spoke very eloquently of some of the nature of that hostility. What therefore do we in Jamaica, we in the People's National Party, what do we think are the realities with which we must deal? We are mostly cases of small economies. We almost all reflect that structural dependence which is the legacy of the long colonial experience. Without exception, the economies are deformed. All come to independence and are still proceeding on that path within the matrix of some form of dependent capitalism. There is therefore heavy dependence on external and unequal trade, heavy dependence on foreign capital, substantial foreign control in place. These are facts that I have no doubt have been amply re-ventilated at this conference. And what we see as the, you might say, the political environment in which we work is two clear trends of political activity which are present, of which we are a part, and with which we must deal. We deal with a powerful neo-colonialist reality. That is the first trend. It is a reality that is comprised of the traditional oligarchies, the multinational corporations, very often the army, and very often those elements of what we can describe as popular groups, the masses sometimes called, who have come from colonialism in a considerable state of dependent psychology. And associated with that are all the classic tactics of anti-communist propaganda and the willingness to resort to military force if there is the slightest threat to the power and position of the traditional oligarchy. And it is interesting that all of the protagonists of the neo-colonialist thing, whether they live within polite Westminster-style democracies or impolite military tyrannies, all have the common agenda of asserting that only foreign capital within the context of the status quo can do this job of development, meaning by that finding the answer to foreign exchange crisis, finding the answer to unemployment, finding the answer to the development of productive capacity. To the general thesis of foreign capital is now added, of course, the Reaganomics of supply side political economy, which is now stoutly championed even by our own Prime Minister in Jamaica. Against that, we identify the possibility of a broad alliance, very incomplete in its articulation, very uneasy in its political understanding, very uncertain in its sense of tactics and strategy. And it is those forces which have an interest in, or can be committed to, or persuaded to, the development of an independent path of development in which one is seeking, firstly, the assertion of sovereignty, particularly in the economic field, seeking to provide an economic foundation to political independence so that viable societies can emerge. In our own experience, and others can comment on this, in our own experience, we detect in Jamaica the possibility that elements in that alliance can come from a new class of entrepreneurs, sometimes called the patriotic private sector, as distinct from the traditional oligarchy of the latifundists and the major merchant traders. Obviously, the intellectuals and the professionals, and critically, the trade unionists, the workers, and of course, farmers or peasants, if you will, other than latifundists, what you might loosely describe as a kind of enlightened popular force. And looking at that, I would like to suggest that a first strategic principle emerges in the struggle against imperialism. And that is the importance of not confusing the struggle against imperialism with a struggle against local private sectors per se. I think that one of the strategic tragedies that can occur is when people oversimplify both the nature of our possibilities and the nature of our realities by allowing a confusion to exist between an anti-imperialist struggle and a view of the role and place of a local private sector within each national conformation. Let us look very quickly, if we may, at what is the obvious economic and social agenda. And it is after that that I would like to comment on political strategy very much in the context of J. Mandel's criticism. Obviously, when we look at an economic agenda for each territory that can come within the political leadership, hopefully a legitimate political leadership, if I might quote Mr. Mandel, there is a very clear economic and social agenda which I think we derive from experience. Firstly, that there has to be the tightest and most consistent control of what we might call economic aggregates, that governments who bear this responsibility have got to begin with tremendous levels of fiscal and budgetary control. Secondly, that they have to determine and develop the clearest priorities over the use of foreign exchange and the prioritization of foreign exchange. Thirdly, that there has to be, again, the clearest sense of priorities in the direction of investment to strategic economic development. Fourthly, that there has to be major investment in agriculture aimed at the greatest and most rapid possible self-sufficiency in food, because this has tremendous implications for the internal use of resources, tremendous implications for the possibility of rural transformation, and immense implications for problems of foreign exchange, and immense implications for the very fact of having an independent polity that is not unnecessarily dependent on external sources to feed itself. Fifthly, there has obviously to be a very clear and precise program that deals with social justice, because without that there is no prospect of maintaining a mass momentum in what one is doing. Sixthly, that one has to work constantly and ceaselessly to explore the practical possibilities of regional economic cooperation and integration, and a whole lecture could be developed on that alone, the practical possibilities and challenges and the difficulties that one faces with them. And then seventhly, I would add, of course, that every sinew of effort, will, and intelligence should be strained to avoid dependence on the International Monetary Fund. Political agenda. And here I would like to suggest a second strategic principle. It is one with which we were even more unfamiliar many years ago than we were in the case of the strategic principle about tactical alliances in the struggle against imperialism. And I would put it in this way, and that is that those who are concerned to develop a political process committed to the effective development of economic independence must avoid the populist seduction that is inherent in traditional democracy. And here I would like to pause to say very precisely and exactly what I mean. Because I think this is one of the hearts of the matter, of what we think we have learned, and how it relates to Mr. Mandel's strictures. I understand populism as meaning, in its most favorable interpretation, the assertion by a political process of its intention to do good works left, right, and center, to do all those things that everybody would like to have happen immediately. Perhaps that's a crude oversimplification. Bear with me. For instance, to talk about universal free education before one has examined the resource demands of that, the financial implications of it, is populism. Similarly, with universal health services, the assertion of it, the putting of it, for example, into a political platform, in the absence of a clear understanding of how, why, and with what, is populism. And I would suggest that there's no way that we who seek to be part of the struggle, which is your concern here, can hope to compete with the neocolonialists in the politics of promise. They will outpromise us every time, and every time that we rest our own political process on ill-considered promise, we sow the seeds of reversal for our own process. Because when the hard realities have emerged after 3 years in office and the promises are not met, nor in prospect of being met, what happens is you create a convulsive rejection, psychologically and otherwise, of the kind of program to which you are committed, and immediately a receptivity to the blandishments of the neocolonialist who says if you're only on all Ron's good side, you'll get all the goodies that you need. And this path, therefore, demands, I suggest, a rigorous adherence to serious political education within the ranks of the political parties that are concerned, and I mean by political education, not merely saying that we would all like to have free education, but rather a political education that examines, first of all, the nature of colonial history, the nature of the world political system and how it operates, the nature of imperialism, the nature of colonialism, of neocolonialism, and the nature of budgets and how they are constructed, of national finance and how it is organized. So that at the simplest levels, perhaps, one begins to develop throughout a process cadres whose knowledge of their political environment is increasingly mature and sophisticated. Granted that this is at the heart of political work, serious political education, rather than populism or even
evening, good evening, and welcome to GRS FM Radio. This is Dan Richie, host the most in the studio. Unfortunately, we apologize tonight for Pastor Ron Cameron and the Redemption Show. Due to the reason beyond our control, he's not able to tune in tonight. So I just want to apologize, and hopefully next week, same place, same time. In fact, normally on the 6 p.m. Eastern time on a Thursday evening. So welcome one and all, and we're going to go kick off here tonight. So you are, whatever you're doing tonight, do it well. If you're just going on the job, have a safe journey. If you're coming off the job, have a safe journey. If you're starting your job, yes, have a pleasant evening. So one, God bless, walk good. I'm going to leave you with one of my favorite, Charles Jenkins. My God is awesome. And bless up to Janice, who is listening all the way in Florida. Bless up over there, Janice. Bless up to Jacqueline, who tune in online, call in, and a couple of people who call in. Bless up tonight. This is Dan Rich. We're going to close the show tonight with Charles Jenkins. Let me see if Jacqueline wants to say hello. Jacqueline, would like you to say hello? Hello, Jacqueline?
Yes, hello. How is everyone?
Everyone is fine. And
very
how
good
are you
message.
Doing?
I'm doing awesome. I'm doing awesome. A lot better. Yeah.
Well, we do apologize, Buster on camera was not able to tune in tonight. But we hope next week, normally it's on the 6 p.m. Eastern time. So God bless, and thanks for tuning in. Thanks to all those that are tuning in tonight. A number from 647, all the way from Canada. Hello, welcome. First, I don't want to listen, I want to talk. Okay. All right. If you like to just say hi and bye, just press 1. I don't know you want to talk. So God bless Jacqueline and walk good.
Thank you, and I will.
Okay. I'm going to close the show with Charles Jenkins.
Come on, everybody. Let's give God this worship. If you know he's awesome, come on, stand on your feet, everybody. If you know he's awesome, you're in awe of his grace. You're in awe of his goodness. You're in awe of his mercy. You're in awe of his provision. He's great and he's greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. Come on, everybody, lift your hands as we lift our voices. Come on, say, my God is awesome. Come on, say, he can move mountains.
He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Come on, say it. Hide me from the rain.
Hide me from the rain.
That's it. My God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
Come on. Heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weakened.
Forever he'll
reign. Come on, you got it. My God is awesome.
My God.
Come on, say, he can move
mountains. He can move mountains.
Keep me in the valley.
Keep me in the valley.
Hide me from the rain. Has he ever covered you? Come on, my God is awesome.
My God is awesome.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Heals me when I'm broken.
Strength where I've been weakened.
Forever he'll
reign. One word, come on, everybody. My God. Somebody lift your voice.
Awesome.
If you know he's been good, say it.
Awesome.
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 Say, my God.
My God is awesome.
Come on, if you know he's been good to you, testify.
Awesome.
Somebody ought to lift your voice.
Awesome.
He's awesome.
Awesome.
Come on. My God.
My God.
Verse 2.
Awesome.
Savior of the whole world.
Savior of the whole.
Giver of salvation. By his stripes, I'm healed. Yeah, my God is awesome. Listen, today I am forgiven. His grace is why I'm living. Somebody ought to praise his holy name. Come on, you say, my God. Come on, awesome. Brought you from
awesome.
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 Let's talk about why he's awesome. You say, he's mighty.
He's mighty.
He's mighty.
He's mighty.
Awesome.
Awesome.
Somebody ought to lift your voice and celebrate.
Awesome.
If you know he's been good, you say,